I don't know if it's just where we live, or maybe this is a common thing. Ever have someone pull into your driveway and turn around? Anybody have that? Well, it happens all the time in our house. I think people give direction. If you've passed the creek on County Line, you've gone too far. Turn around. Or maybe they miss Creek Road or something. I don't know what it is, but we regularly get a flow of traffic through the end of our driveway pretty regularly. There have been a couple times where, so when that happens, the dog doesn't like it. And he wants everybody to know that there's somebody here. And so he'll bark and yell and all that kind of stuff. And that's his one redemptive quality, is that he lets us know when someone's at the end of the driveway. The UPS guy doesn't like it. The FedEx guy doesn't like it. But we like it when he lets us know. Once in a while, maybe once a year or so, someone that we don't know pulls in, and the dog will go crazy, and we'll just, I think, oh, it's just someone turning around. You hear that in the, we have a gravel driveway, so it sounds that. But maybe it'll be like a politician or something like that trying to get signatures, which is fine. Neighbor comes over and just talks a little bit, or maybe they're coming to try and sell you, or maybe they're returning the dog that's been running down the road. We've had that before. But we pretty much, if it's a stranger, we stop them at the front door, even before they get to the front door. I'm out on the porch. Hey, what can I do for you? Why are you here? And if they responded with something like this, well, I've come to your house. I just want to check on a couple things. What are you talking about? Don't worry. I'm just going to go through. Can you show me where your medical files are? We're just gonna look through some of your stuff. I would like to see your financial reports. I'm going to check in your underwear drawer. That's where some people hide things. Because you have no business in anybody else's underwear drawer, right? Amen. You would be alarmed if a stranger showed up and said, I'd like to look through some of your personal belongings. What happens if it was a friend or a family member? Still, if my sister came to my house, and I love my sister, and she's here tonight, and she came to the door and said, I would not be alarmed. The dog would be alarmed, of course, but I would not be alarmed. We would be happy to see one another. We sit down at the table, and she says, no, I don't want to sit at the table. I'd like you to bring out your medical files. Let's get your ESL statement out, Nick. Although we're family, I would be a little inquisitive of, what is it that I can help you with? What is it that you're looking for? Imagine the government just comes to your door and just starts going through your stuff. I don't know. Yeah. Ripped right from the headlines, right? I mean, we're not getting into it, but I don't know what I think about that. Why is that? Well, you don't really have the authority to go through my stuff. You have no business. Now, if Sarah, I don't like it, but she'll say, hey, let's sit down and look at the finances. Oh. All right, so here we go, and I'm always reluctant. Here we go, here's how much we have, and here's what we owe, and here's what's up and coming, and that's Sarah. Her name's on the deed, you know? I mean, she has every right. But we're reluctant to let maybe a stranger even into our own home, friend or family member, to look through these personal things. Go with me to John chapter number 3. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus responds with this answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How many of you believe that? Yeah, amen. What's it mean to be born again? Well, number one, to be waterborne. We're, you know, praying for family members as the as a baby's about to be induced. And one of the things is, you know, where ladies have this conversation, gentlemen don't, but ladies, did her water break, right? I mean, that, they'll ask that question. That's the physical birth. Christ says you got to be born again. Well, to a smart man, Nicodemus, he says, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean? How could I get back into my mother's womb? He says, no, no, you need to be born of the Spirit. And that's exactly what we try and encourage people. That's what Ms. Dickinson was talking about. That's why she was talking to the lady. Hey, you have a problem. You have a sin problem, and you need to be saved. You need to be born again. Man, imagine getting so close. So many verses that they could agree on, but then when you get to Jesus, when you go to verses like this, ye must be born again, they don't want to talk about that. That is no-fly zone for the Jehovah Witness. But at one point, somewhere, someone in our life, someone came and said, maybe similar thoughts, or maybe not out of John chapter 3, but someone came to us and said, ye must be born again. And they went through and said, listen, you're a sinner. And maybe there was some resistance in that. Maybe he said, I'm not a sinner. And they went through Exodus chapter 20, and by the end of that, you're like, wow, I'm a sinner. Or maybe it was really easy. Have you ever sinned before? Oh, you don't have a list long enough. Well, do you know the consequences of your sin? See, that's where the breakdown is. There's a payment for your sin. And when we acknowledge that and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to forgive us of all our sin, as we sang tonight, that blood cleanses us. It's an amazing thing to think that blood can actually cleanse something. The other day, I cut my neck shaving. You ever do that, brother? Yeah. Not, you got electric. All right. I have one of those, you know, I got the little brush with the mug, and I got a straight razor, all right? Old time, all right? Well, if you sneeze or cough while you're doing that, you're going to the hospital. But anyway, so I cut my neck, and I didn't realize I cut my neck because I wiped off my face on our new white towel, and there was like a good reminder that I cut my neck. Oh, blood. Because what did blood do? It stains. But the blood of Christ washed me clean. Praise the Lord for that. And that blood he shed for us, he saved us. Being born again. Now he's supposed to have now access to every part of our life. That if he pulls up in the driveway and he walks through the front door, there ought not to be any area that he doesn't have free will to go through. Hey, we acknowledge that he could take away the sin and he could give us a home in heaven, but just don't mess with my personal life. I'm not sure that's how that works. Bible reminds us in Proverbs chapter 3, familiar verses, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It says, in all thy ways. I'm going to ask you here tonight, is there a file? Is there an area of your life where you just don't let God get involved? Is there an area where you say, you know what, I know it says in all thy ways, but not this way. You can have all this, but stay out of there. In Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm not getting political. I just want to say something about this, okay? So imagine, right? I mean, just a couple days ago, maybe yesterday, The FBI goes to President Trump's house in Florida, and he goes, and again, I don't know all the details. I'm not going to even say I do. I don't know if there was a warrant, if there wasn't a warrant. I don't know what they were looking for. I don't know if he had things he shouldn't have. You can't believe anybody, right? And everybody's all up in arms because they didn't have, what, the authority to go in. Ephesians chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." God has access to all things in our life. Psalm chapter 57. Psalm 57, in verse 2. If we're in verse 2, might as well read verse 1, right? "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Look at verse 2. He says, "I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me." God, I'll trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I'll lean not into my own understanding. In all my ways I'll acknowledge him, and he shall direct my paths, except for this spot. God, your counsels are beyond good, and God, you're so good, you're so wise, everything you've ever done is good, except for this one thing. Unto God that performeth all, not all things. And I'm going to ask you here tonight, is there an area? Matthew chapter number 6, familiar verse. Seek ye first, right? Matthew chapter 6. In verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Hey, here's the problem with this. We think that God doesn't have authority in our life, because that's why we stand at the door with the shotgun. "You're not coming in here." "Well, I want to come in here." "You don't have the authority to come in here." And I wonder if in our own life we stand at our heart's door with a shotgun saying, "No, God, not this area." Here's the problem, though. For the stranger pulling up in the driveway, you're right. He doesn't have access to the medical files and the personal and the underwear drawer, right? He doesn't get to go through those things. But God does. Luke chapter number 18. Luke 18. Look at Luke 18, verse 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Say, "Oh, you must have wrote down the wrong verse." No, I want you to follow this thought here for a second. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, it tells us, no, I think it's 16, 17, 18. It's one of those. "Men ought always to pray." Pray without ceasing. That's what it is. 1 Thessalonians 5. Luke 18, 1. "That men ought always to pray." Listen now. What you think about God is what you think about prayer. Now, let's just process that for a second. Your view of the Lord is demonstrated in prayer. Why do we bring these requests? Or why do we beseech God? Is Wednesday night at 7:30 the only time that you get down on your knees and pray? I'll tell you, you have a warped sense of who God is in your life then. You pray little, you have a little God. You pray much, and you have a big God. This whole message is all about one thought: God's authority in our life. He's allowed to pull up in the driveway, come right in the front door, and look in the most personal parts of our life. He has complete access to that. And if we think that there's a no-fly zone for the Lord, we're in trouble. Because he does demonstrate all authority. Matthew 28, 18, we love this verse, right? Go here, Matthew 28, 18. We're going to probably be hearing this Sunday night. Matthew 28, 18. Well, I invite you to come back Sunday night. It's going to be, Lord willing, a special service. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. And we use that authority. We use it as almost like a sheriff badge. Because of this, God has enabled me. He has all power over heaven and earth to take the gospel to anywhere. That authority gives me the ability to go out anywhere. But that same authority, what about coming in? If God has all authority over all power unto heaven and earth, surely he can walk into your heart and say, I'm the boss in here. I'm in charge here. And our view of God and the authority, listen now, the authority we give to God. See, of course, he has all authority. I know that's what we say, but what is it that we do is directly demonstrated in how we pray. Your view of the Lord is demonstrated in your prayer life. Say, so does he really have all authority? He certainly does. We'll look at a couple verses, John chapter number 5. Every now and then, we just need to be reminded who's in charge. God gives us a lot of liberty to make a lot of decisions, but we have to remember that he's in charge. John chapter number 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. How many of you believe that? Absolutely. We look at that verse and we hang our eternity on that verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Well, Christ, you know, Christ is good over there. No, he's God everywhere. Everywhere. I've been reading through Deuteronomy. I think it was yesterday I read about what to do with a false prophet. It's not good. It says this. I was quick to identify this. The first verse of the chapter, I don't remember what chapter it was. I'd have to look back. But the first verse of the chapter says, if there's a prophet among you, which helps, because the penalty is death. So if any prophet gets up in the nation of Israel back in Deuteronomy and said, you need to go listen to Belial, they say, we're allowed to kill you. Now, that, as it rises up amongst them, it does prevent them from going to the neighbor's place and saying, hey, did you say something against God? And then just slaughtering them. No, it's within the nation of Israel. It does kind of help with that. It just tells me, though, God takes his authority really serious. A guy gets up and says, you know what, I think there's something better than the God of heaven. Stoned. That's it. No trial. No, just stoned. Why? Because God's authority ought not to be questioned. In our life, in our life, is God where he ought to be? In Psalm 119, it tells us, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Forever. Through the authority of the scriptures, through the authority of God himself, through the authority of Christ himself, God has access to us. And when we read something contrary between our life and what the scripture says, the scripture isn't wrong, we are. Because this is the authority. Well, that's outside of its, no. It doesn't have a limit to its jurisdiction. I want to help you with one verse, James chapter number 4. Thankful for the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that helps us regulate ourselves. Isn't it good when God speaks to us personally? Man, praise the Lord for that. Leads us and guides us. And if we say, God, here's the line, here's the limit, I'll allow you to have access, but this area over here, you've just taken away God's authority. James chapter number 4, what does it say? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Who's in charge? God's in charge. And there's no hidden areas in our life. There's no off-limits areas of our life. If God says, I want to work with you and deal with you on these things, then that's what you're doing. You're sitting down at the table, you and God, him and his word, and saying, all right, God, let's make sense of this. Come, let us reason together. And at the end of the day, we walk away with God's point of view, not ours. Hey, God's great to save us. And we are so quick to give him our eternity. But what about our daily life? He has access to all things. I want to remind you tonight, your view of the Lord directly is parallel with your prayer life. Because it's all an authority issue thing. Let's all stand. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Say, I thought you were going to talk about like specifics. Like, no, that's God's job. My experience has been that when speaking of things like this, the Lord knows. The Lord knows exactly what's going on. E.M. Bounds said this. It's going to be in my own words, but he pretty much said this. E.M. Bounds was a great man of prayer. Wrote books on prayer. He said this. He said, preachers spend many an hour preparing the message. He said, oh, that they would spend many an hour preparing the messenger. That's most important. That's most important. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you that we can talk to you and that you talk to us. God, I pray that you'd help us with these things. God, thank you that we have a real relationship with you, that you truly do talk to us. And everything that you bring into our life is for good. Lord, help us to submit ourselves to you. God, help us to walk in righteousness and holiness. God, we would live a life that pleases you. God, that we would give you the authority you so perfectly and righteously deserve. Lord, help us with that. We struggle. Lord, we need you. We love you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.